Welcome to season two of Snubs and Dubs, where we've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, welcome to the first bonus episode of season two.
So glad to be back. I was scared. There was a moment. I didn't know I'd be coming back for the bonus episode. We just finished filming the Babadook episode.
Yep.
I was worried you'd ask me to leave and you'd have another best friend come in to do my part, but we're here. It's too late now.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yep, you're stuck here to talk about this weird fucking movie.
Oh, God. I am both sorry that I suggested this, but glad I made you do it. I wanted you to hurt the way that I've quietly been hurting all along.
So, yes, if you couldn't tell from the title, we're taking a break from our critically acclaimed schedule to talk about Kevin Smith's Tusk, which came out in 2014. You have seen it before, right?
I have seen it before. I was given a bootleg copy on a hard drive to watch in 2015, and I watched this on my 11-inch MacBook Pro. And that might be the quintessential experience of watching Kevin Smith's 2014 Tusk.
Oh, but you hadn't seen it since then?
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Absolutely, I have not.
This was my first time watching it, and presumably my last time watching it, because, oh my God.
So we watched it independently,
yes.
And that makes the most sense. But what I would have given to be here, to see you look at Wallace the Walrus for the first time, I would give anything. Because I know my reaction was visceral. You could probably hear my facial expressions when I first saw him. And I just, could you recreate how you looked when you first saw Wallace the Walrus? Oh, it's just slightly quizzical. Okay, it wasn't.
Do you want me to go bigger?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He kind of like did a screen. He opened his mouth a bit more, still quizzically. Yeah. Wow, that's a big reaction. That is, he made you feel something.
Yes. I mean, I kind of knew what I was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, I was like not prepared for some of the stuff.
You can't be. There's no way to.
All right, well, we're going to get into it. But if you were interested in Tusk, I've included the links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out our show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow that general link to help out our show in the process. Reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation. So if you haven't seen Tusk and you want to, go ahead and do so. But without further ado, we're going to get into it. So Tusk was written and directed by Kevin Smith. It stars Justin Long as Wallace Brighton, Michael Parks as Howard Howe, Haley Joel Osment as Teddy Kraft, Genesis Rodriguez as Ali Leon, and a weird surprise cameo by none other than Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Whoa. It is a runtime of 101 minutes, and it premiered at TIFF on September 6, 2014, before going wide on September 19th, 2014. Jason, what do you think of Tusk?
It's hard not to think of Tusk. Most days that I'm alive on this earth, I kind of somehow think of Tusk.
Oh, God.
It starts misleadingly okay.
Right.
There's some funny moments.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis is as the border security guy. Isn't that Zach
Galifianakis? Oh, is there a border security? No, that's the guy from Epic Mealtime.
No. Okay, that, they're like the same person. I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when that dude, there's a fun interaction at the airport between Wallace and the security guy. And you think for a minute, this might be an okay Kevin Smith movie. He seems to have at least a little bit of juice flowing. It's over the top. Yeah. And they're podcasters for the Nazi party. This was written at a time when there was less anxiety around Nazis. So that strikes a little bit of a weird chord. But you think this could be okay. And you get some good performances along the way. The dude who plays the old reclusive guy kind of kills it.
Yeah, Michael Parks is really good. Justin Long has some good moments too.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah, it's just such a whack-ass movie. Like, it's so strange.
As soon as Johnny Depp enters, they lose it. What I think happened, and I feel like if you watch the movie, you can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith had an idea.
Yeah.
And it was the basic premise of the movie where a guy goes to some place, stays for the night, and gets turned into a walrus.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he realizes, oh shit, this movie has to end somehow.
Yeah.
And he never quite does it.
No.
He never brings it home because as soon as he is a walrus, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
Bringing in Johnny Depp as Guy LaPointe was bad.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp's terrible in this.
Yeah. And well, like, my presumption was that he was going to end the film as a walrus. I figured that was going to happen. Like, yes, he was going to end the film as a walrus, but that he would gradually turn into a walrus, but like midpoint, like he is in the walrus suit.
Yeah.
And from there I was like, well, where do we even go? Like, he's just conditioning him to be a walrus, but then he never fully becomes that condition. I think
Kevin Smith was all thinking to himself, well, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
I got to the point of the man's a walrus.
Yeah.
Now what?
Well, that's the thing. And like, you know, this is kind of exposing myself, but this is my first Kevin Smith movie.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I was talking with my roommates about Kevin Smith before I came here, and we both couldn't remember what he's actually known for as for like good
Clerks
movies.
And Mallrats?
It's Mallrats. That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of his movies, but he has enough gusto that he can just keep making movies.
That's the thing, is this is such an absurd concept.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have fuck you money and cred to think that you could come with a script that they developed on a podcast episode that involves turning a man into a walrus, and you will get stars like Justin Long to star in it.
Yeah.
And it will actually get made and people will see it.
Yeah.
Who the fuck? Like,
this started as like I bet you I can make a movie out of this. Yeah. And then he did. And then he had the resources to go and do that.
Literally, this does feel like a bet. Like, oh, I bet you won't make the walrus movie. Bet.
And it was bad.
Yeah, honestly. Fuck. Okay. Well, I got 10 points of their plot here. I'm going to brisk through this shit.
Do it.
Okay. So Wallace and Teddy host a podcast called the Not See Party, horrible name, where they find and mock humiliating viral videos. Wallace flies to Manitoba to interview the subject of one of these viral videos, but when he arrives, the guy decided he did not want to be alive anymore. After some slight annoyance, Wallace finds a handbill with the promise of stories, and so calls the man on the handbill named Howard Howe and goes to his house. Howard tells Wallace the story of his rescue Walrus friend. Say that 10 times.
Yeah.
Mr. Tusk, while drugging Wallace, Wallace passes out, and when he wakes up, he's missing one of his legs. After playing coy, Howard reveals that he can still walk and lays out his plans. He plans to fit Wallace into a perfectly constructed walrus costume in an attempt to recreate Mr. Tusk. After Wallace sends a voicemail to his girlfriend Allie and his friend Teddy, Howard knocks him unconscious. Allie and Teddy fly to Canada and begin tracking Wallace while Howard sews Wallace into a walrus costume he made of human skin, complete with tusks made from the tibia bones of Wallace's severed legs. Allie and Teddy get in touch with Guy Lepont, a former Quebec inspector who has been hunting Howard for years. Lepont reveals that Howard has been kidnapping and murdering people for years, and he believes Wallace may still be alive, but not as they remembered him. While Howard conditions Wallace to think and act like a walrus, he reveals his motivation. Shortly after being rescued, he had killed and eaten Mr. Tusk and has spent the last 15 years of guilt turning his victims into his beloved savior in an attempt to relive their last day together and give Mr. Tusk another chance at survival. Howard dresses in his own homemade pelt and fights Wallace, but Wallace impales Howard with his tibia tusks. Howard dies but is satisfied to have fulfilled his life's mission at last. Lepont, Allie, and Teddy enter the enclave as Wallace bellows victoriously, much to their horror. 1 year later, Wallace, still sewn into the pelt, lives in a wildlife sanctuary. Allie and Teddy visit him and feed him a mackerel. In a flashback, Allie tells Wallace that her weeping grandfather told her that crying separates humans from animals. Allie tells Wallace that she still loves him before walking off crying. Tears run down Wallace's face as he bellows, implying that the human part of Wallace may not be completely gone. The end.
Hoo-wee. That's a movie right there.
That is a movie.
Somehow this hits the technical limitations of a movie. What I think this should have been is like a short. Part of like a variety type movie. Like those. Yeah. Have you ever watched like the VHS horror movies?
I have wanted to, but I have not.
Yeah. Like they could have easily done it like that because it just cuts between like unconnected stories that are all like however long.
Mm.
But what you do, cut Guy Lepont out entirely. He's not funny. He just drags on everything.
Yeah.
Almost as a joke. But again, the joke's not funny. So it just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Have him cut out. Just have Allie and
Teddy.
And Teddy. find Wallace at the point of he wakes up as a walrus and have him immediately kill the guy. That just saves some time. They come in, they rescue him, they take him back, throw a fish. He's still human, whatever.
Yeah.
You can tighten this up to be like 25 minutes.
Definitely.
I bet.
Because that scene in the diner with Guy Lepont, it's so long,
Sucks.
It's just, it drags everything to a halt.
It's so bad.
And I get that they're trying to do a bit where like Johnny Depp is, you know, wacky, zany Quebecois guy. And, you know, he's, he's talking all funny. Well, you see, that's how he talks. He talks weird, like Brooklyn / Quebecois type guy. Yeah. And like, it just, it doesn't work.
No, no,
it's
bad. I love
Johnny Depp. He's great in other stuff. This was nuts.
This is that he didn't need to be there.
No.
Yeah.
And they wanted Quentin Tarantino for that part.
Oh my God. They shouldn't have wanted that part and save everyone some time.
Yeah. The other part of that is that that character feels like they're in a different movie.
Yeah.
Like, I get that this movie is meant to be absurd. Like, it's a strange, weird concept.
Yeah.
But if you were trying to make like a Human Centipede type parody movie where you're showing how absurd it is, that's like turning somebody into a creature, blah, blah, blah. But the first bit of the movie seems quite serious.
And honestly, again, not bad.
Yeah.
You have a good start to a movie there. Mm-hmm.
Like, you're setting up Wallace as basically an asshole.
Yeah.
And so you're setting up him to get a comeuppance in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you're asking like, well, did he deserve this? You know, he has a Nazi party podcast.
He sucks ass.
Yeah. He literally flew to Canada to make fun of a kid that ended up, you know,
having killed himself.
Yeah, yeah. Because he couldn't handle the humiliation. And then he was mad about it. Like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
But like, you can get some of those jokes in, but for the most part, that first bit of the movie is pretty serious. And so when Guy Lepont comes in and it just becomes goofy as fuck, like, pick a tone.
Yeah.
Pick one. Make it goofy or make it serious.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been more funny if Guy Lepont was just this hardened, dead serious, cold as fuck inspector who has seen the horrors of life and is not fucking around.
Yeah.
And like, he just is going in. And but this guy was just too zany, too weird.
Also, if you're playing on the stereotypes of like Quebecois people, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry if you are French Canadian listening to this, but that's kind of one of the stereotypes, is they're kind of dicks.
Yeah.
And can be occasionally elitist.
Yeah.
You can do that, and it could work really well in this movie and also save a bunch of time. This could have been 70 minutes. It didn't need to.
Yeah,
no one's coming in here asking for a full length movie. You can make a 70 minute kind of thing, and people will be fine with that.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was just stretching it out to get one bad joke in a series of jokes that like, oh, this takes place in Canada. Haha. There were some good ones. The red, white, and blue. That's a pretty good joke.
That's pretty good.
I found that pretty funny. But everything Guy Lepont and everything after a while was like, okay, it's in Canada. We understand. Yeah. You need a second joke.
Yeah. Well, it had very mixed reviews. Do you know or have an idea of where this landed on Rotten Tomatoes?
I felt like the reviews were mixed when flushed down the toilet because they're bad. I'm going to put this in like the maybe like 20% critics, 35% audience.
Wow. It actually was double what you thought.
Oh.
43% critics, 63% audience.
Wow.
That's too high for me.
That is quite high.
That's wacky.
I feel like people who watch this, though, are Kevin Smith fans, and they went to go watch it. No Possibly? One's accidentally watching Tusk.
No. People are getting forced into watching Tusk, like for me.
Your bonus episode of a podcast. I remember when my friend told me to watch this. He's like, yo, Jason, this movie is fucked up. You should watch this. I was like, okay. I had no idea what was about to happen. Oh, the different life path I walked down that day.
But like, it's not that fucked up in some sense. No. Maybe I'm like just a hardened cinema critic by this point, it's not that fucked up. Like, they put him in a walrus suit and you know it's a fake suit.
Yeah, it's not the most convincing thing.
And there's not much like blood or gore to this movie either. It's pretty safe when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You see his leg already cut off. You see it sticking out of an ice bucket, comically so. And like, the only other thing you see is like him with his arms sewn together.
And that's not
basically
that
it.
The big shock moment is when you first see him as a walrus.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it. There's not a lot of other shocking material. It's not even, as far as body horror goes, it's not that body horror.
No, it's yeah. That's why I wish it had been more gradual.
Yeah.
And that it hadn't been just like a suit that they put him in.
Yeah.
Like if he used every bit of his body, obviously you're going to have to add mass somewhere. Mm-hmm. But like if he used more of Justin Long to become a walrus and gradually converted him into a walrus.
Yeah.
While like he had to, you know, sew some bits and heal some bits, but then like, I don't know. It's it didn't work.
It needed to be the reveal of him being a walrus had to be like the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
The fact that it was like 2/3 of the way at best,
yeah,
maybe even less than that into the movie, mm-hmm, did not work to his favor.
No, definitely not. Because yeah, at that point, like, well, if they save him now.
Yeah, of course they save him. What else are they going to do? He's going to escape. Clearly the old crazy guy is going to get killed somehow or maybe arrested, but I doubt it. And then it's just kind of is poorly executed, but obvious where it's going to go after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what would have been funny though?
What?
If they kept his mustache on the walrus.
That would have been funny.
Because they make such point of pointing out his mustache.
Yeah, it never goes anywhere.
No. They should have put it on the walrus.
Yeah.
That would have been funny.
Let him keep his mustache. That's a good point.
Yeah. IMDb was a 5.3 and Metacritic 55. So pretty middle of the road.
Sure.
Where it did worse was the box office. It made, on a budget of $3 million, $1.9 million.
Good.
I based this sheet that I'm reading off of our Ed sheet. It made less than Ed.
Good.
However, Ed did cost 8 times more to make.
Okay, overall, it was less in the red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still did not make money.
I hope Kevin Smith learned a lesson from that one. This is a movie where I hope that he got a message from it.
Did you want to score this? Or
yeah.
Yeah,
you really got to score it. Score? Two tusks up, baby.
Do you want to use our scoring system? Or?
I like just spitballing it out of 10.
Spitball.
Just seeing where it fits.
Okay.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
2?
I was thinking 2.3.
2.3. Well, it actually has a 2.5 on Letterboxd.
Oh.
And I have 3 fun Letterboxd reviews here. 1 from Matt Singer, 1.5 stars. First third, this is why podcasts are podcasts and not movies. Second third, the human centipede and marijuana are a dangerous combination. Third third, Johnny Depp must be stopped. 3.5 by Zara. I am afraid to think of what kind of disturbing thought process led to Kevin Smith making this.
This to him was probably like a Tuesday.
Yeah,
this
well,
is probably just what happens in this man's mind.
I don't know if you looked up anything about where the idea for this came from.
I remember it came from, I think, like it was a conversation between him and a pal. I think it was on his podcast.
Yeah,
or something
I have
like
I have the fact later.
Yeah,
so,
okay. Hit me with X. I don't remember the exact details, but I know this came out of like a bit on a conversation. So this could just be like his Tuesdays thinking of his shit.
Last letterbox, 4 stars by Ivy. I love this. I wish I'd never seen it.
Fair play.
Speaking of, I don't want to watch this anymore. Like, if rewatch was part of my score, never again.
I can't believe
never
I've seen this twice.
That's absurd to me. The fact that you've watched this twice.
I remembered every detail.
Oh my God.
I could have sat here and done this episode without having watched it again. But that's not fair to you, who also had to watch it recently.
I did. Yeah. Awards, pretty much nothing. It won the Fright Meter Award for Best Supporting Actor for Michael Parks, and it won the iHorror Award for Best Male Horror Performance for Justin Long.
Oh, you know, that's what I was going to say. There are some really, really wasted performances in this because they are so good.
Yeah.
Like, what's the female supporting actress? What's her name?
Good question. Genesis Rodriguez.
Genesis Rodriguez delivers a very emotional monologue about being cheated on.
Yep.
Feeling like nothing, having the emotional support to come back. The waterworks are flowing. Mm-hmm. She is selling it. And it's in goddamn Tusk 2014.
Yeah.
What a waste.
And then she has to sit in front of Johnny Depp as Guy Lepont.
Oh.
In the same fucking movie.
Get to the point.
Yeah. All right. So here's the interesting facts. The movie was shot in 15 days.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah. According to Kevin Smith, most of the $3 million budget was used to obtain the rights to the song Tusk by Fleetwood Mac, which they use in like maybe a 40-second scene.
And it's not the... You didn't have to.
Nope.
You did it because it has the same name.
Yeah. So
whatever. It's fuck you money. That doesn't matter.
So I mentioned this, but Quentin Tarantino was offered the role of Guy Lepont, but turned it down, saying he dug the script and, quote, couldn't wait to watch Michael Parks let loose his inner Kraken. Kevin Smith said in an interview that Tarantino thought he was being offered the role of Wallace, not Guy Lepont, and that's why he turned it down, which led to Johnny Depp being cast. So a bit of miscommunication.
I still think fair play by Tarantino. If he read that script for Lepont, he's still fair play for turning it down. Yeah. So no miss.
Dude, if I was a filmmaker and I was going to give a script to fucking Quentin Tarantino, Academy Award winning.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's won, but yeah.
I'm assuming so. And I think that's a safe assumption.
At least nominated. And you're giving him this? What the fuck?
Well, it's because he's fucking around. They're probably on some level buddies. And he's like, yo.
Yeah, look at this shit. Yo, Quentin.
Yo, I'm smoking marijuana right now. And you'd be so good as this Inspector Clouseau ripoff.
Oh, God. Okay, well, this is the first film in Kevin Smith's Canada-based trilogy. The second one was Yoga Hosers in 2016. Also didn't see, based on the Smodcast episode 288, another movie based on a podcast. The final installment will be Moose Jaws, which at this point has only been described as, quote, like Jaws, but with a moose.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good sale.
Well, we started the trilogy.
No. Also, wait, no. What did he? It's called the. What is it?
This is a Canada-based trilogy.
He didn't call it the Canada Hat Trick.
Yeah,
you fool.
I'm starting to think this is a
bad movie.
I couldn't see any information about Moose Jaws, though. I don't know if it's going to be in production. It does not have a release date, only that the concept does exist. So
I kind of want to watch them all as a punishment to myself or something.
Stop.
I kind of want to just have a little masochism and just watch all three in a sitting.
You do that. Don't look at me like that.
Come on. Wouldn't it be fun?
No.
But we're podcasters in Canada. It's so relatable.
The idea for this film, okay, so here's the actual information. The idea for this film came during the recording of Smodcast 259, The Walrus and the Carpenter. In the episode, Smith and his longtime friend and producer Scott Mosier discussed an article featuring a Gumtree ad where a homeowner was offering a living situation free of charge if the lodger agrees to dress as a walrus.
So it's not even that original an idea. Yeah. He just was like, oh, what if he is the walrus?
Yeah. The discussion went on from there, resulting in almost an hour of the episode being spent on reconstructing and telling a hypothetical story based on the ad. Smith then told his Twitter followers to tweet hashtag yes walrus if they wanted to see their hypothetical turned into a film, or hashtag walrus no if they did not. A vast majority of Smith's following agreed that the film should be made. So thanks, Twitter.
I would love to find out every person who voted and A, found out if they ever went to go watch the movie.
Yeah.
B, if they have come to live to regret their decision.
I mean, based on the box office, survey says no, they did not watch this movie.
And yes, they do regret it.
Last point here. The post on Gumtree was in fact a prank post by noted Brighton poet and prankster Chris Parkinson, who upon hearing on the planned film said he was a big fan of Smith and that he would love to be involved. Smith eventually hired Parkinson as an associate producer in November of shooting.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's adorable.
So not only was this based off of a funny thing on the internet, but the funny thing on the internet wasn't even real.
No.
It was just like an out there original idea.
Oh, it was probably something like Yahoo Answers or something where like people just go there to make up dumb shit that's funny.
Yeah.
And look where that led.
Honestly, everything that I've been reading makes me believe that this movie should not exist. It had so many barriers.
Yep.
To getting to being an existing, breathing, living movie in a walrus suit that we have seen. The Twitter.
Yep.
The podcast on the website. The fact that that guy posted it and it wasn't even real. Why did all of the stars align to line up? And the fact that fucking all these actors and that Kevin Smith had the money to do it.
Kyle, think about one thing right now. Well, two things. The first thing, this is a movie that has been made. It is a movie that exists.
Yes.
The other thing, think of all the great movie ideas that never came to be, that were a short that couldn't get funding.
Yeah.
That were just an idea that could never get enough steam to be made.
Yep.
And there's Tusk.
sitting there
for millions of dollars.
It didn't even make money, dude.
It bled money.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, I guess Kevin Smith has earned his way there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But like,
but imagine what could have been if it weren't for Tusk. If Kevin Smith just tripped and fell and lost those millions of dollars to good filmmakers who had an original cool idea. Imagine where we'd be right now.
Oh, man. Not watching this. That's for sure.
Not thinking about getting into that Canadian hat trick.
Oh, God. Well, do you have anything else to say about Tusk?
I don't know if I could. Kyle, I have one question for you, though. Are you glad or remorseful that this was one of the bonus episodes?
Furious.
Because I'm pretty sure the conversation there have been so many really good movies that we wanted to talk about,
yeah,
but we couldn't fit in. And I'm pretty sure the conversation around bonus episodes went, oh, Tusk came out this year, we got to do that one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you took my word for it.
I mean,
you,
yeah,
like, you believe me.
It's on paper, it's an absurd movie.
Yeah.
And it feels like one that, you know, it's low hanging fruit here. We should watch it.
Uh-huh.
But I am insanely remorseful and just angry because of, if you, at the end of this season, we're going to look at the list of movies we did not talk about. The ones that, you know, could have been in the main season, but weren't. The ones that could have been allocated to the bonus episodes, but weren't. And there's going to be Tusk in place of those ones.
I'm looking at the other possibilities you wrote down.
Yes.
Oh, man, Kyle, don't do that. Don't think about what we wasted. But you said yes. You should have done your homework first.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. This has been a bonus episode of Snubs and Dubs.
Well, I want to thank you all for listening to our first bonus episode of season 2. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs, as on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Tusk and on this episode, so please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiasen on Twitter, and Jason is at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links are going to be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Share the show to everyone you know, and check back on Monday for episode 13 of season 2. We're going to be talking about The Imitation Game, another Best Picture nominee. So make sure to watch it before you listen. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Wait, I have one more thing. I forgot. I wrote this down.
Okay.
I forgot to say it earlier. We are now a Tusk of our former selves. Instead of a husk.
I'm ending this podcast. Okay. Bye.